everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of Marketer Pitch, the news and trends podcast from a Vantage Black and Brown perspective. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the co-hosting team. And to my opposite end is the other half of the squad, co-host and friend, Corey Davis.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? Happy holidays. It never gets old to me, but I actually like being called part of a squad. So thank you again, Yesenia.
I told you that I was experimenting with different types of intros.
Keep it.
And this one in particular, when I first used it in episode, when I recorded it, or when we recorded it, I should say, in episode number 4, it made perfect sense. So I decided to bring it back. Like I said, it could be a permanent mainstay.
No, definitely keep it. I like it. No complaints on my end. But how are you?
I am well. Happy holidays to all our audience. I know we have finally arrived at the last 2 weeks of the year. And buddy, this is the last episode of the year for us. It has been an incredible 6-volume rise since our debut back on October 30th.
Yes, it feels like we just started the first episode last week, but also the beginning of the pandemic felt like it was 2 weeks ago. So this year, 2020, has flown by. It's been a year for the record books, and it's definitely flown by.
2020 has definitely been an unconventional year on all sorts of levels, but we should be excited for what's to come. This is only the beginning. I think from a podcasting standpoint, our podcast continues to evolve as we're discovering who we are and what we want the show to ultimately become. We got so many ideas, guests, specials, and many more projects that we will soon bring to light starting in 2021. The podcast is designed with you in mind. We want you to be a part of this. Corey, we are in a unique position where our voices can become real influencers to address so many important issues that must be brought to light in our respective industries.
Definitely. And especially for our young talent or people who are maybe studying marketing and public relations and advertising in college, this is a great introduction to the industry. It's a great way just to hear two people who have been in the industry for quite a bit, not to give our ages out, and just discussing what's going on, the latest news, and maybe give you a thought process as you hopefully graduate and enter the workforce in this industry yourself.
Yes, and above all of that, we want you for this holiday to like, comment, share, or subscribe to Marketer Pitch, even leave a review or email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. We want to hear from you, and we're also available on numerous podcasting mediums.
Yes, only thing I want for Christmas is to hear your comments. So please write us, chat us, message us, and give us your thoughts on not only what you think of the podcast thus far, but what you want to see in 2021, who you want us to interview, what you want us to talk about. We are an open slate, and we're open to changing this podcast with our audience. So definitely, we want to hear from you.
We want to open those presents under the Christmas tree. So please, we want your opinions as our presents. But speaking of which, Corey, this could quickly segue into our holiday plans. So obviously now we've made it to Christmas and New Year's. So do you have any holiday plans to celebrate the last 2 weeks of the year?
Yes. And between what I'm about to say next and my ad chat, I think I'm going to be very controversial this episode. But I am actually traveling from California to Florida for the during the holidays. I know. On paper, I should not be traveling. So I will say that, yes, I'm a huge idiot and I'm part of the problem. I will admit that. This year has been tough just being away from family. I do live in Los Angeles. My family is primarily right outside of Tampa, Florida. It's been tough being away. I stayed home for Thanksgiving, but I will be traveling for Christmas. Yesterday, I went and got a COVID test. I paid to get a COVID test to get my results back within 1 hour. Of course, I am negative. And I'm going to take my precautions and travel as much as possible. Travel safely, excuse me, as much as possible. I will quarantine when I'm in Florida to make sure that everything is good to go. I'm actually staying in Florida for quite a bit, so I will be there through January. And I do feel some kind of guilt with traveling, but I know with just being safe and doing the best that I can, I feel like for my own mental health, that outweighs to me my own health, I think, for traveling. So yes, I will be traveling. So you can email me and tell me that I'm stupid. I know I'm stupid, but I need to see my family. It's important to me.
Oh, Corey, I feel so disappointed. Really, do you have to travel given the circumstances that that's happening right now with all of the COVID restrictions and protocols? But yet, at the same time, I understand you do want to see your family. But still, my friend, but it is your life. You do whatever you need to do as long as you follow the safety precautions, you know, and ensure that you are safe wherever you're traveling, which is to Florida this year, as well as protecting your family.
Yes. So when I'm traveling, I got a negative test, and outside of just getting the negative test, I do stay at home. So I do quarantine just naturally at home. My parents, if they do the same, they don't leave, they quarantine. And again, when I get to Florida, I will quarantine for a few days, and then I will also get another test just to make sure that I am negative before interacting with my parents. But I will do my best and just pray for me, and hopefully that I can enter 2021 health with my health, just like my family's health.
Well, I'll be definitely praying and crossing fingers for you and your family, my friend.
Thank you.
And so I will quickly tell you my holiday plans. 30-day meditation program, exercising, video calls, LinkedIn courses, and lots of streaming. I already got my long list of shows as to what I'm going to watch. But for the main holidays, just like Thanksgiving, short and somewhat subdued celebration, my family will have our annual holiday Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve dinners. The lone difference is that we're going to be ordering instead of cooking.
Oh, no. I don't get to hear about the great items on the menu for Yesenia's family's holiday. I was expecting Thanksgiving times two.
Sorry, Corey. It appears my family prefers to go on the restaurant route. I guess we're being lazy at this time. But there's always next year.
Yes.
Well, obviously, as you all know, we are just days away from the end of 2020. And this has been an unorthodox or unconventional, whatever adjective you want to describe, to say the least. And so quickly, Corey, I'm curious, you know, to hear from you. What has 2020 have meant to you? And what is one news story, you know, out of this year that stood out to you the most?
So, of course, like everyone else, 2020 has been the year of change. I just remember entering this year back in January, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, had no clue what was going to impact us this year. But when we entered 2020, I remember just being optimistic that this will be a great year. And then COVID hit, and then the death of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests, the summer hit, followed by the resurgence of COVID. That's really dangerous. So this year has been a definitely unconventional year. And I definitely think it's just being unpredictable. I have rolled with the punches, and I've learned to embrace the unknown. And 2020 has taught me that. 2020 has taught me that tomorrow is never promised. Tomorrow, you never know. Only thing we can do is just react to the now. So I definitely thank 2020 for that. And the one story that has probably impacted me the most, just as an African-American male, of course, is the death of George Floyd that happened back in May. Very tragic death that should not have happened due to police brutality. And George Floyd, unfortunately, was not an isolated incident. It's just a long string of names of Black individuals, male and female, who have died at the hands of the police. So just seeing the protests, I was very proud to see the protests and people standing up and calling out the radical issues that are going on in this country. But also the way the ad industry responded to the Black Lives Matter movement and the racial uprising. So from different holding groups, they're releasing their diversity stats. Like, for instance, Interpublic Group released their diversity. They're the first holding company to release their employees by position and by race, and almost make a pledge to say that they will increase their Black and African-American numbers in the future. Companies like Omnicom, Publicis followed suit. So that's a great start. Reddit, its co-founder Alexis Ohanian, who everyone knows is married to Serena Williams, he announced that he was stepping down from his board seat and giving it to someone who's African-American. And also, you saw brands like Aunt Jemima change their name. You saw brands like Uncle Ben's change their name to be less racially focused. So definitely the ad industry has changed, I think, even more so than because of COVID. The reaction after the Black Lives Matter movement has probably been one of the biggest news stories for the ad agency, I think, in the past decade. What about you? What has been your 2020 story?
Well, it's actually a tie between the racial civic unrest and the COVID-19 pandemic. I think quickly, you know, from a social justice standpoint, I think, you know, seeing, you know, what has happened with the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as, you know, the immediate aftermath, you know, shows that we have a lot of damaging loopholes, you know, across our institutions that need to be fixed. And so what we're seeing is a movement that is has crossed all racial lines, and the fight for justice is very much put in the limelight. There is a lot of, you know, a lot of discussions as to, you know, police brutality, especially, you know, with the defund the police movement. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done on that end. But it's good to see, you know, people are marching out, you know, for social justice and equality. And then obviously COVID-19, that is the big one, you know, that has dominated airwaves for most of the year. Nobody anticipated, you know, a pandemic, you know, to hit this bad as it did. But this was something that people have been warning us in the past. And so I think this is just a foreshadowing as to what is to come in terms of this COVID-19 pandemic could be the setup, you know, for what could be potentially much more dangerous pandemics down the line with viruses and other dangerous health hazards. So I think it's really important for countries all over the world to take the necessary steps to put contingency plans as to how they need to do a pandemic. And we also see, you know, in real time, you know, what are the pros and cons as to, you know, how to, you know, deliver, you know, that messaging, you know, from a communication standpoint. I think, again, we saw the resurgence of corporate communications and crisis communications, as well as brands being much more assertive in terms as to how they, you know, how they promote themselves from a branding and value perspective.
Agree. And you said that perfectly.
Yep. And with that, we are going to now hit the ground running. Showtime. This week, we got HBO Max back on the news headlines, a quick brand shout out, Tropicana, and 2021 predictions. And so with that, let's start it off with the news headline of the week, where we spotlight a current news trend that dominated mediums. This week, the headline is from Deadline, titled HBO Max Seals Deal with Roku, Making Streaming Distribution Footprint Complete. Warner Media and Roku have finally reached a deal for HBO Max, bringing the subscription streaming outlet to Roku's 46 million active accounts and filling a key distribution gap ahead of a string of Warner Brothers film releases. Corey, thoughts?
Well, one, this is huge. Now HBO Max is competing with the big dogs. They are in the same level of contention with Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu. Now there's HBO Max. We got a fourth one to the ring. So definitely this is huge for HBO Max. What's your thoughts? Because I kind of want to hijack this topic, but what's your thoughts on this?
I'll quickly tell you Corey. HBO Max is making moves, but the main character of the story is Roku, because the streaming service, along with Amazon Fire, is quickly building or solidifying its prowess. Roku has emerged as the gatekeeper of streaming, benefiting from a surge in terms of overall streaming hours even before the COVID-19 pandemic. Shares of Roku have skyrocketed 135% this year, and it went up an additional 4% with the Warner Brothers news. As of this past Thursday, subscribers can download HBO Max. So this is a good time for the streaming service, since they have been in talks with Warner Brothers after their blockbuster announcement.
Yes, I agree. And actually, you are 100% right with Roku. Coming out, this is going to expand Roku and allow them to really compete with Fire Stick and complete with Apple TV. So definitely, this is also huge for Roku.
We are witnessing the transformation of TV and movies as we know it. And there's no doubt about it with the cable cutting or cording. I should say that is becoming even more prominent. I think we are going to be witnessing the streaming services taking the lead into a new era for TV and movies.
Yes. So I'm going to quickly hijack. Everything you said is great. I'm quickly hijack this topic because mm-hmm. you said HBO Max. And I know you said you're going to stream TV series for the holidays. If everyone's listening, including you, Yesenia, if you have not done so, please stream The Undoing on HBO Max. It stars Nicole Kidman. And a lot of it's very star-studded show. But I'm streaming that show right now, and it has me on the edge of my seat. It's 6 episodes, so it's very quick, an hour long each. And I can't even tell you the plot because I'm giving away the first episode and tell you the plot. But trust me, watch The Undoing on HBO Max. You're going to be very happy.
Do not tell me any details of that because I have that on my list to watch during the holiday break.
It's good. You're going to definitely enjoy it. And we're going to, once you watch it, our first episode back, we're going to set aside 5 minutes to just discuss our thoughts on it. But it's very good. It deals with a lot of class. It deals with race. It deals with infidelity. It deals with so much that I'm probably giving away. But I'm going to shut my mouth. But please, everyone watch that show.
Yeah, yeah. You better, Corey, because I don't want you to spoil it. Not one bit. I have been eyeing that show since I fixed my HBO Max last week. So don't you dare give out any details of the plot. I heard that show is absolutely amazing. I can't wait to watch it. And yes, we will be talking about The Undoing, 5 minutes of it in episode 7. So check it out.
Nice. Nice.
All right, before we move on to your ad chap, I want to give a quick shout out to Alaska Airlines for their cute and innovative 80s style advertisement campaign, which they did for COVID-19. I thought it was one of the more coolest campaigns I saw this year. I actually love the fact when the Alaska Airlines team were dancing nonstop to this really cool like 80s jam. It goes like din 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 din. Can't think of the song in my head, but I can't think of the rhythm. And I thought it was simply innovative. So
yeah, it was the song was Men at Work. You can dance if you wanna.
Yes.
And I'm not gonna sing anymore. That was embarrassing enough.
Yeah, but thank you for pointing that out, Corey. So quick shout out, you know, to Alaska Airlines. They get the winning brand of the week.
Yes, and can I just say that Alaska Airlines, they're really, really smart. Because if you're not familiar with, I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago, Alaska Airlines actually bought out Virgin America, who was a separate airlines under Virgin Atlantic. So they won the bid. Alaska Airlines took over Virgin America. They took their fleet, took over everything. And if you didn't know, Virgin America was one of the first airlines in America to have a funny safety video that had their employees dancing in it and telling the instructions of what to do in an emergency in a very fun, quirky way. So I'm glad that not only did Alaska Airlines take Virgin America's airline and fleet, but they also took their creativity and their juices as well. So great, great, great ad.
Fabulous. And with that, we transition on to Corey's ad chat, where my good friend and colleague Corey Davis talks about a particular topic in the advertising segment that caught his eye. So Corey, take it away.
Yes. So in addition to everyone yelling at me for traveling for COVID, I'm telling you, this will probably also be controversial. But here we go. My ad chat for this week comes to us from people.com. who has an article about the big controversy on Twitter this past weekend. It was not about President Donald Trump's refusal to concede, which he still has not, which is nuts, over a month after the election, or the rising coronavirus cases, but it was about the orange juice company Tropicana, who released a star-studded social media campaign around parents mixing their Tropicana orange juice with champagne to create everyone's favorite brunch drink, the mimosa. Now, the ad was wiped from the internet quicker than a celebrity's news. But for those who have not seen the ad, I'll quickly describe it before getting into my thoughts. So, Yesenia, just quickly, did you see the actual ad? Not to go controversy, but did you see the ad? Because it seems very few people saw the ad before the controversy.
I did not, but I did saw the Twitter post that they had about the about the campaign where there was one who is in the restroom and the door opens up with the Tropicana, the juice.
Yes, Gabrielle Union. Yep. Yes. Gabrielle Union. So I'll get into that. So let me just tell you about it for the audience who have not seen it yet. But they had a feature of vignettes of celebrity mom and dads, including, like we just mentioned, Gabrielle Union, Jerry O'Connell, and Molly Sims, who are sneaking away to their, air quote, safe space, away from their own children, who have been nagging them all day during this pandemic. In their safe space, those star mom and dads have a secret mini fridge hidden in everyday items. For instance, for Gabrielle Union, her mini fridge was disguised as a towel closet. And for Jerry O'Connell, his mini fridge was disguised as a toolbox. In this fridge was a holy grail of Tropicana orange juice and bottles of champagne, or like some people call it, mommy juice. Gabrielle Union states in the ad that her bathroom has actually become her safe space and serenity when, and I quote, mama needs a break, even if I'm just collecting my thoughts, doing my beauty or hair care routine, or scrolling through Instagram, as she takes a sip of her own specially concocted mimosa. Jerry O'Connell, he also adds that, and I quote, you can't take care of your family if you don't take care of yourself, as he then fixes himself a drink from his fake toolbox, disguised as a mini fridge. Tropicana concluded the ad with a tweet to parents stating, parents, you're juggling it all. Find the ultimate moment of brightness for yourself, wherever and where and whenever, with a Tropicana mimosa, of course. And they promoted this with the hashtag #TakeAMoment to help you mornings a little brighter. Yes, it was tongue-in-cheek and cute. Tropicana released the ad, and 24 hours after the ad was released, all hell broke loose. Social media blew up with outrage for this ad. Among the backlash the campaign received, some mothers claimed it encouraged addiction for normalizing drinking in secret. In addition to the addiction, some moms group added that a few sobriety groups that women and mothers is at an all-time high. An addiction in normalizing hiding in your closet to drink your secret alcohol stash and escape your children is very dangerous. A few users even set up a rival campaign which started encouraging parents to post up with another brand of orange juice to voice their anger. Throughout the entire weekend, hashtag with Cancel Tropicana was trending, with many wondering how the tone-deaf campaign got approved in the first place. Finally, after all the backlash, Tropicana quickly came out and apologized for the ad, and they stated in their apology that they want to apologize to anyone who was disappointed in or offended by their most recent campaign. The intent behind it was in no way meant to imply that alcohol is the answer or to make light of the struggles of addiction. We hear the feedback that we've missed the mark, and Tropicana concluded the apology by saying, we're ceasing any further activity in support of this campaign. Now, after that controversy, I'm sure my opinion would also cause a stir to a lot of those same groups, but I'm really not seeing the big deal here. Yes, I really do believe making light of addiction and addicts to be very terrible and tone deaf, but I believe the actual ad and not the portrayal of the ad, this is key, the actual ad, not the portrayal of the ad that social media made it out to be, was made very tongue-in-cheek. The ad was a hilarious spoof on those parents who feel that they need to get away from their kids. The ad was less focused on the drinking, but more focused on taking a mental break for yourself, which is something that everyone can relate to, especially me right now. As many people that I saw hating this ad, I saw the same amount of people loving it on Twitter and thinking how funny it was. I believe we are living in serious time, and advertising should not make fun of people in a negative situation. But sometimes, I definitely think that people forget to take a step back and actually laugh and take things lightly. Being edgy with your ad is something that should be applauded. That's something that advertising have always done. For the past 50 or 60 years, advertising has always went up to the edge and skirted the line and introduced conversation. So ads should be applauded, given that it's not calling out a particular group. In this ad, Tropicana is not saying we should be like these parents and drink in secret, but they are suggesting that we all should just take a break for ourselves. which is something I'm going to do now and let Yesenia get on this controversy and probably disagree with me. But Yesenia, what's your thoughts? Do you agree? Did I go too far? Let me know.
First and foremost, I drink Tropicana. I love Tropicana. That is the only orange juice I will ever drink for the rest of my life. Second, I ironically enough, Corey, I agree with you in certain lanes. I personally thought that the campaign, didn't have, I didn't really see that the overall explosion or the backlash should not have been as deep as it was. Yes, I understand, certain people kind of viewed it, in a negative light due to the fact that it might have promoted alcohol addiction, which mm-hmm. was definitely, not the intention. But that's why, that's why it's really important, to have social monitoring and listening, to try to understand, how your audience feels. From a PR perspective, it was wise that Tropicana put out a statement to try to litigate the damage, from a crisis perspective. But I felt that they should have announced it sooner. As soon as, you started to see the backlash on Twitter, Tropicana mm-hmm. should have come out immediately with a statement of some sort or taken down the campaign. I also felt that while the campaign was in the development stages, it would have been nice, to see them do like maybe a focus group of some sorts or a survey, to see, as to how people react to the campaign. I think they could have done it a little bit differently instead of, doing like the campaign hashtag take a mimosa moment, maybe take out the champagne and maybe just do it like take a hashtag orange break.
Or
a hashtag juice break, and then have all of the have the celebrities Gabrielle Union, Jerry O'Connell, and Monty Sims, or whomever they decided to bring on board, and then have them like you said, recreate the entire scenario, taking a break from whatever situation that they're being held off, and then take the time and drink a Tropicana juice. Just I do agree. I think as adults we all have mental, we all need time to take a mental break, which I think that was the main gist of the campaign, was for us to chill out and take some time to meditate, let go of our minds and drink a simple cup of orange juice. I think they could have gone with it a little bit differently, but I understand the backlash as to why people were not happy with the campaign, but I think the backlash might have been a little bit too much.
I agree. So I actually thought you would go the opposite way, but yeah, I agree. I think sometimes that people just forget to, in these times, just take things lightly, and everything doesn't have to be a think piece. Everything doesn't have to be discussing ad nauseum on Twitter, or you don't have to have an opinion. You can just look at something, maybe be like, that's funny, or that's not funny. But if it makes you think, the ad did its job.
Well, I'll quickly tell you this, due to the current polarized climate, I think people are being too politically correct. I think, there are ads or different types of campaigns that brands are putting out where people find it a little bit too abrasive. But I think we all need to realize that we need to go back to a time where people can just simply laugh. It's okay, to make fun of this stuff, but I think people need to be a little bit more intelligent, as to what they put out there or talk about.
Agree.
And with that, Corey, thank you so much, for that controversial yet informative ad chat. Do you have any last words?
No, I want everyone to reach out to me and give me their thoughts. If you hate me or if you think that I'm stupid, please email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Definitely, if you have another insight or something that I'm not seeing clearly, please just email me and I want to hear your thoughts and have a healthy debate with you.
All right. Thanks, Corey. And with that, we are going to zero in on the next segment, my PR bulletin board, where I talk about a specific theme that captured my attention and I offer my 2 cents about it. So with that, we are only just a few days away from the start of 2021. New hope, new beginnings. We all start from scratch. The PR industry is no different. While we definitely want to put 2020 into the back burner, trust me, we really do. There are some trends that make their mark and will continue to do so as we head into next year. According to Reagan PR Daily, there are 9 particular communications trends we should keep an eye on. The gist? Be ready for a full year of digital domination, concrete DE&I action, and live streaming events. All right, so what are these 9 predictions? They are, 1, work will be fully digital. 2, live stream goes mainstream. 3, D&I becomes mission critical. 4, the stakes rise for employee engagement. 5, our work will be bifurcated. 6, marketing and corporate communications will overlap. 7, PR must communicate values, not just messaging points. 8, new social media platforms will drive influencer culture. And 9, innovation still rules. I'm going to zoom in on 4 of these predictions. First, work will be fully digital. As what we have seen in previous years, but now thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic, working remotely is now mainstream. We already witnessed the digital transformation, but now with the new model, it will emerge where operations can be done anywhere outside of the office. This change will be felt especially in marketing communications departments. Remote work is now a permanent option for many office employees, and all internal and external focus campaigns and initiatives must now be digital. Second, we saw the emergence of live streams, especially from platforms like Twitch, Facebook Live, and LinkedIn, among others. We're going to see much more emphasis of live streaming for customers, B2B or B2C, and employee communications, as well as live streaming being used as a live event feature for digital events, podcasting, and real-time chat interactions. The event marketing business will see a big boon in this due to events being made available for both in-person and digital attendees. Third, this is a topic that will continue to make its rounds. But given the circumstances of 2020, it can no longer be overlooked. No more excuses. The industry cannot run away from this. If you're going to talk diversity and inclusion, then you better bring concrete plans and execute them to the fullest. Companies, whether it's in-house or agency, must genuinely educate themselves on the issue. No more hiding around diverse candidates or promoting empty pipelines. Also, the issue cannot focus on one particular part of diversity and inclusion if you don't address all of its subcategories. It's not only about race. It's about race, gender, sexual orientation, age, religion, and other prominent practices under that DE&I umbrella. Check that. It's actually DE&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion, the proper term. Finally, stakes rising employee communications, marketing communications overlap, and PR communicating values all interconnect with one another. They all align into the corporate communications umbrella. With remote work and fully digital programming becoming more common, corporate communications will be challenged to engage employees. Marketing communications departments will now work in tandem with one another to meet client expectations. Also, we are going to see organizational values be fully embedded even more alongside internal and external communications initiatives, as businesses will play a larger role in expressing their brand and corporate values than ever before due to the loss of trust across all institutions. Finally, they need to be crystal clear in who they are and the values they entail, especially in a polarized climate. As discussed in episode 4, corporate communications is here to stay for good. Corey, I want to get your opinion on this. These predictions are paving the way for what's going to be a long-term permanent mainstay. What would you like to see in 2021?
So I personally just have one big thought of everything you just said. DE&I becomes mission critical. To me, I think is the biggest issue, for at least for me personally, as an African American male. You saw everyone, like I alluded to earlier, make pledges this year in 2020 after the death of George Floyd and the uprising, racial uprising, saying that they're going to increase their diversity pool. They're going to have more minorities in the decision-making room before ads go out so things aren't tone deaf. They're going to, instead of having 2% of Black employees, they're going to have double that, maybe 4 to 6% as a start. Everyone took their pledges in 2020. But you know what? Taking a pledge is very easy. Only thing you have to do is raise your right hand and say what you will do. The hard part is actually doing it. So in 2021, I want to see actual promises and I want to see actual ways that this will be implemented in moving into 2021. I don't want to see any more pledges next year for diversity. I want to see that actual steps taken forward next year, that diverse candidates will be hired and diverse pools and minorities will be in decision-making rooms before tone-deaf ads get out. I want to see the actual steps for next year. And then also going into the just work being fully digital, I definitely think that's going to continue into next year. My agency has announced that for 2021, the entire year actually, they're not expecting workers to come back. They're actually already talking about 2022 being the year where people come back to work. So I definitely think that will continue, even though cases will start to go down, vaccines and vaccinations will go up. I definitely think that the trend will be for most people to still work from home if they are more comfortable doing so.
All of these predictions will affect the industry one way or another. But what has caught my attention is how all of these align to the corporate communications web. It is as if corporate communications has been taken center stage. One thing is clear. A new industry subcategory will emerge post-COVID. Digital and corporate combined. The renaissance of digital corporate communications. And with that, that ends my PR bulletin board. I hope our audience had a very informative listen as to what are the PR predictions for 2021. But I want to hear from you. What would you like to see in 2021? What are your predictions? What are your thoughts? Please email me at marketerpitch@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. All right, Corey, we have reached the end of episode 6. Any last thoughts?
No, I just want to thank our listeners for listening to us for hopefully 6 episodes and just welcoming us as a new podcast for 2020 and hope you can continue for 2021. And I just want to say, everyone, have a happy holidays. Please take a much needed mental break for yourselves, just like this show will do. And I definitely look forward to chatting with you and giving you my own thoughts of the ad industry in 2021.
Yep. Thanks so much, my friend. You could catch up on the first 6 episodes of Marketer Pitch on numerous podcasting mediums, including iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, and now on iHeartRadio. Yay!
Awesome!
Like, comment, share, subscribe, write a review, and offer your opinions at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Your voice matters. Also, we want to inform our audience that Marketer Pitch will be going on holiday hiatus for the next 2 weeks, and we will return with all new episodes starting with Volume 7 on Monday, January 11th. On behalf of the podcast squad, I, as Corey, would like to wish you happy holidays and happy new year. We will see you in January 2021. Take care, all. Till then.
Goodbye.